kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Have a title for us to consider today, and we're calling this Almighty God Knows What He Is Doing. Almighty God Knows What He Is Doing. If we can get this one from our heads to our hearts, it's going to save a lot of anxiety, frustration, despondency, depression, all of these things that the enemy really tries to attack. And when we finally get it from the head to the heart, the Almighty God knows what He is doing, we are starting to grasp and understand His absolute supreme authority. Because that is where our rest is to be found by faith. And of course, the word and all the promises that we read are really affirming this title. Every story of what the saints have gone through, whether in the Old Testament or the New, is all confirming that Almighty God knows what He is doing. And He makes no mistake. And we have to settle with this. And this is why Isaiah tells us that God's ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. He is so infinitely different. His ways are past finding out, and yet we still try in our minds to work out a plan or to work out in some way that God will do this or God will do that or whatever. But we find that He doesn't. He always comes up with something that you never thought or imagined or considered or whatever. That's, of course, why He is Almighty God. And we know, don't we, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, where God calls Abraham and He's going to teach him to walk and to believe that God knows everything. And because God knows everything, He is not going to explain or tell you or why or whatever. He doesn't do that. The same as when He opens up and introduces Himself in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God, and the rest you take by faith. And He said to Abraham, didn't He, in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And you have and I have that same calling, principally working with us. By the grace and mercy of God, He has called us from the foundation of the world. And we respond by His mercy and grace, and we go forth not knowing where we are going, what tomorrow holds. That is how we are to walk. And we complicate that principle by wanting to find out. You see, we want assurance. We want something that we can just understand or grasp, that can just give me that confirmation so that I can step out and walk with God. And he doesn't give it. However, he does give his word. And his word shows that all the saints called by him walk by that same principle that Abraham was called to walk by. Now, the confidence should be enough with which it says, as we've read, that he, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive an inheritance. So he is called. He was called. And each true born-again, spirit-filled believer has that same calling on his or her life. That is the divine principle. You have been called to walk before God. And when you understand this, then God will start to open up and give light and revelation with regard to your call. In this case, both individually and corporately. So the question that I raise this evening with regard to this teaching, is this your experience? And you have to be brutally honest with yourself and ask these fundamental questions. Why the Lord is still delaying his coming. The hardest thing we are finding is it doesn't make any sense. Now, one would have thought that after all these years walking by faith with God, that we would have got over a lot of that. But obviously, it's come up. God wants it again addressed, that some are still battling that it doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't. The reason that it doesn't make any sense, because God doesn't tell you what he's going to do. So the question is, what are you going to do next? Have you got things planned? Have you got your future planned? Your life planned? Have you got things planned in 6 months' time or whatever it is? Well, if you have, that may not be what God wants, because that's not how God deals with us. Now, obviously, of course, we have certain responsibilities. If we're parents and have children and work and so on. So yes, there are responsibilities, but we're talking something bigger, greater than this. We're talking about a vision, a call for the last days. We're told that without a vision, the people perish. And they do. And so, as we respond to this call by faith, like Abraham did, called by God to walk by faith, a land which he didn't know where he was going to, but he trusted God. So as he journeyed with God over the years, the Lord met with him from time to time and made covenant with him and touched him and gave him greater revelation of what he was going to do and the promises. And it's the same principle with us. God will only reveal to you at that right time when you have obeyed him and you trust him and you walk by faith. Then God will meet with you and he will speak with you further. But he's never going to tell you where he's going to take you, what he has for you, and so on. And yet we're inquiring, we ask God, and we get upset when he doesn't answer. And he won't answer, because you are called to walk by faith and not by sight. And the children of Israel in the wilderness, they had a problem with that, and they griped and they moaned and they fought against God, and contemporary Christianity does exactly the same. Why? Because there's nothing new under the sun. And you will not change Almighty God. God calls us and he expects us to walk by faith and to trust him. So what does the future hold for you in this life? Do you know? Have you got it worked out? Have you got it planned? Have you your aspirations? Do you know what you're going to do? Do you know what you're going to do in 5 years or 10 years if the Lord tarries? I hope not. Because that's not how you are to walk before Almighty God. We are to walk each day and take that day as he leads and guides us, because each day for us is a gift given to us by God. But if you have it planned and you're working it out, then you have to really ask the question, am I really called? Because if you have that call on your life, you are sooner or later going to understand, just like Abraham, that he didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God. You see, the only future the overcomer has to walk is this day by faith. That is the future. Nothing else matters. What matters when you wake up in the morning is, I walk this day by faith with Almighty God. That is what matters. That is what should be on our mind, our thinking, our thoughts, and so on. Because then you will not become despondent. You will not get down, up and down like so many Christians are, or depressed, or whatever it is. And a lot of that happens because they're trying to plan their lives without Almighty God. And that is the weakness, that is the problem we have. And so God says, he's not going to tell us, because he knows human nature. He knows we will plan our life, and we do that planning without considering him. And yet the word of God says that we are to commit all things unto God, and he will guide and lead and direct us, but we don't always do that. And so the only way that God can cut across that is, you're called and you walk before him. And you take that each day by faith. And why? Because this is where you will build that confidence in him, and not your reliance on yourself and the things of this world. That's why. You see, God never gets it wrong. Do you still worry? Are you still anxious? Are you worried about tomorrow, next week, next month, and so on? Well, we know very well what it says in Luke 12, verse 22, 26. Luke 12, 22 to 26. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, but you will what you will eat, nor about the body what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. And who has given us that life? God has. He says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? See, the Lord's really making a point here. He is really stressing this to the disciples. And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So he says, worrying is absolutely futile, useless. If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And if God so clothed the grass, which today is and in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? That's all about seeking, putting first the kingdom of God. What is he saying here? He's saying, do not plan. Do not organize. Do not try and work it out. Don't consider that these bills have to be paid each month. The cost of food, rocketing, everything is going high sky. It's just, we never thought 10 years ago we would be paying things like we are now. So does the word of God change? No, it doesn't. He still says, don't consider this. Don't worry. Put the kingdom first. Put me first. We've been called for relationship with him. That is our priority. To put him first for worship, for praise. That is what it's all about. Because all the while you worry, you are concerned, that anxiety, that eats away with your relationship with him. And so it's no good seeking him about the future, about next week, or in 2 months' time, or 6 months' time, or will we have enough to pay these bills? And so it goes on. Because if this is consuming society now. And it's not just in this country. This is a worldwide, global problem. And people are in absolute anxiety and fear with all of this that's going on. But why is all of this happening? Because we know God is shaking. As he says in Hebrews, I will shake the heavens and the earth in these last days. Judgment is coming. And the shaking has started. And that is why there's so much exposure. That is why there's so much evil now. That we cannot trust anything or anyone except God's word and the Holy Spirit who has come to lead and guide and teach us. That is where our absolute reliance should be upon. Everything else, or what man says, is all secondary with regard to God's word. As we know that faith comes by hearing this word, as the word of God tells us. So it's no good seeking him about the future. It's no good seeking him about next week or even about the end of the day, because he's not going to tell you. He remains silent, because we are to go out in complete surrender, and you aren't to be surprised or upset what he does or what comes your way. Whatever comes your way, whether it looks negative or positive, it doesn't matter. Your day is tailor-made for you, because the Lord has gone before and prepared the way. And whatever the day brings, that is right, that is tailor-made. Even if you miss the mark or you sin, God is still in control of all of that. as he's not Almighty God. And that is how we are to walk, and we're not to be surprised. It's like the air, the wind blows where it wills. You don't know where the air, the wind blows. You haven't got control. But God does. And God has control over your life and my life. Sometimes our lives look as though they go completely out of control. It's ready to have a crash. But God is steering and guiding. You see, a lot of us are filling our lives with busyness because it hasn't worked out as I thought. And so because it hasn't worked out as I thought, I'll do it my way. Only that find that it gets worse, doesn't it? No, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what the day brings. Whatever trials, persecutions, you name it, whatever, God is in control of your walk each day, and you rest in that. What does John 13, verse 37 tell us? John 13 and verse 37. Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." And Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." See, God was teaching Peter something. You see, we never go forth until he has given directions, if he's going to give it. And many times the Lord does lead and guide us through the Holy Spirit. And so each day, even though it may look negative, God was still leading and guiding and directing you. Now, if we're in doubt, or we're having problems, or maybe you're having problems listening to this right now, you're thinking to yourself, "Oh gosh, yes, I hear this, but it's another thing to be able to actually walk this, you know." Well, then wait. Wait on God. Seek him. And you will find then his presence is with you as you walk each day, because he wants you to know you're not on your own. And that's what this is all about. You walk together in fellowship, in covenant. You're not on your own. And so he has to teach us to be able to walk by faith in order to experience that. But you see, it's easier to get busy, to do lots of things, to go independently of God. And then we wonder why it's not blessed. You see, relationships are not cultivated in busyness. And this is why, particularly in marriages these days, they're not always working out, because in families, the husband, the wife is busy, busy, busy. And they don't have quality time, family time for each other, and so on. And gradually the relationship breaks down. This is one of the things the devil is doing now in overtime, is getting us all busy. And we have to guard in this. You see, when we're waiting on God for things, God's timing never brings disappointment. And again, we're not very good at waiting, are we? Particularly in this age and generation that we live. We want everything yesterday. But with God, you wait. And each day is a waiting on God, even though you're walking with him. As we prayed and as we seek God over the promises and what we're believing for, there's a right time that God will manifest and reveal what we've asked of him in prayer. It doesn't come immediately. And this is what God was teaching Peter, because Peter was petulant. I'll walk with you. I won't deny you. He got it all planned and all worked out when the Lord was betrayed. And they took him away. And we know what happened. He went back on everything he said, because he saw it in busyness. He saw it in planning, doing it independently of God. And God was teaching Peter something. And he's doing it with you and me, because we do this. The overcomer has to learn their walk and calling, and it is to put God first. It is, we are called for worship before him. Worship is also relationship. That is fundamentally what we are saved and called for. That is what pleases his heart. And when we learn that one, we're going to find things so differently with our walk. There won't be this striving. There won't be looking for alternatives to satisfy myself. You know, a lot of us, when we first get saved and everything, we find it very difficult to think, well, how can you walk with God 24/7? You know, how can you put the kingdom of God first? How is this possible? It's all an attitude of heart. That's what it is. When you go out, you know the Lord is with you. He's in your mind, in your thinking. You know he's with you, maybe somebody you've met, and you find yourself praying for them later on. You find that God is in everything. He starts to become evident in what you do, what you put your hands to. He's there. He's with you. Or he's going to give you the words what to say to that person. Or if you're going to prepare your meal, he's going to be there with you, communicating, talking. That is worship. That is relationship. And God's calling us for an unbroken relationship with him. Now, don't limit him, because in the natural, that's impossible. But all things are possible with them that believe. And that's what the overcomer should be believing for. God has saved me for relationship. And that is it. You try and change that and you've missed the mark. You will not understand. You will fill your time with busyness, doing worldly things and worldly pursuits. We know that God called Abraham to walk with him. As we know in Genesis 12 and verse 8. And then he walks with God. And then we see something that he learns in this call, in this walking with God. How does he learn this? Where does he get this idea? In verse 8 of Genesis 12, and it says, "And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and call on the name of the Lord. And so it goes on. What is he doing there? He's worshipping. He calls on the Lord. Now, he hasn't planned that. He doesn't know that that is going to happen. That has come as a result of trusting and obeying God and moving out by faith. And look what comes as a result of it, and how God met with him over the period of his life, changing him, making covenant with him, giving him a greater revelation, and of course an heir in his old age. That is how we walk before Almighty God. And we've got to learn this, brothers and sisters. Why is it worship? Because worship is giving God the best he has given you and me. That's why it's worship. When you worship him, like Abraham's doing there, you are giving him the best, because he gave you the best, his son, Jesus Christ. That's why we have the story of Cain and Abel. Abel offered the better. Cain didn't. And as a result, Cain, his offering was rejected. There is the principle of relationship, walking with God. And that's why your own life, you offer to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And all that you are blessed with, you offer back to him. And so our offering back to him is our expression of gratitude and of thanks and so on. Because you can't offer anything greater than yourself. The offering of yourself, Romans 12, 1 and 2, is your gratitude, your thanks to him, because he gave the very best for you to redeem you and I. That is relationship. That is how you move and get on with God. But all we do is just want, me, I, my needs, what I want and so forth. And you do that out of anxiety, out of depression, out of unbelief. When we learn to trust God and walk by faith, and he has gone before and prepared the way, then you have time to think about him and to offer back to him. Have you ever asked God, what does he think about this? What are your thoughts about this, Father? You've heard about my thoughts. I've rattled off my list before you. But what do you think? How do you feel about this? That's what God is waiting for. We are such selfish beings, consumed in ourselves. And as I've said so often, self is our worst enemy. And so, whatever God blesses us with, we give it back. We know of a story where God was teaching the children of Israel this. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus 16. And you know the story of where they're in the wilderness, they're hungry, haven't anything to eat. Oh, wish to God we were back in Egypt. Are we out here to die and so on? There we are, griping and moaning, trying to plan their life, plan their walk. You can't plan a walk in a wilderness, trust me. I've been out in the desert. You can't do much planning out there. That's why God took them into the wilderness. to get Egypt out of their hearts. And here they are griping and moaning. They want manna, and God gives them manna. But he's teaching them something, to take what they need. And that's what God gives to us. He gives us what we need. And if you're greedy, then it will turn on you. It becomes rotten. And here it is in Exodus 16 and verse 20. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. And that's what happened with the manna. When you're greedy, when you take more than you need, that is a sign you are planning for the future. You're planning for tomorrow or next week, and it will always turn on you. We have what we need today. Tomorrow, when you wake up, you will have all you need. If you put him first and relationship first, don't consider, don't think about it, you will have what you need. And any of those outstanding bills that need paying, it will happen. Else God is a liar, but he's not. And whatever he gives you, you give it back to him, so that even others can be blessed also. We are to be a blessing to each other. That is what the body of Christ is about. And with whatever God has blessed you, in whatever way or form, it's not just money, you can give out as the Spirit leads. That's what fellowship is about. That is what the love of God is about. But you've got some saints, they're selfish, they're inward looking. They don't even think or consider their brother or sister or relationship. And that's why relationships don't work. Because they haven't got that relationship with their Heavenly Father. You get that right and everything else gets right. And you can embrace the family of God. You can even embrace your neighbor. Yes, and even your enemy who despitefully uses you. Because you are drawing from your Heavenly Father. And this is why God gives us plenty of time to worship him. None of us can say, well, I haven't got time. I'm working all hours in the clock and so on. No, we can't get away with that. I said before and I'll say it again. If you seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, he says all these things will be added. And that is quality time he will give you. Whether you've got a family or there's children to wash and feed, or whatever it would be, he will supernaturally give you that quality time for him in whatever situation, because our God is a miracle working God. And my advice to any of us as I close with this is you pitch your tents where you can have quiet times with him. Wherever it's right for you to pitch your tent, make sure that that place, that space on your own is with him and quality time. That is why he says, go into your closet and shut the door and look to him. And you will find that things start to change. Peace starts to get into your mind and heart. You begin to be aware of God and the love of God as you walk each day with him. And that your walk as a Christian isn't a drudge. It's a joy. And you'll find when you wake up in the morning, there's a joy and excitement. I'm going to be walking today with my Heavenly Father. What a blessing. That's how he wants us to walk. But a lot of us, we've substituted for other things and busyness. And you cannot develop a relationship in that. Trust me. So, as we have taught then today, Almighty God knows what he is doing. He knows what he's doing. He's got everything in complete hand. And like Abraham, you have been called. And tomorrow, if the Lord tarries and he doesn't come tonight, then tomorrow you wake up. You don't know where you're going. You do not know who you're going to meet. But walk it with him by faith and watch what comes out of that day. If we've really taken this word into our hearts, we are going to see our days completely changing because we no longer walk on our own, trying to plan and scheme and work it out. Stop it. Don't do it. Because that is what's bringing depression, oppression, robbing you of the joy of the Lord. Because it's not working out how you planned. Let it go and let God establish your ways and my ways. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your encouragement, exhorting us. Lord, we praise and thank you, Father, for the way you speak to us and show us that we can go deeper and deeper with you. Lord, forgive us that we make it so complicated. We get so sidetracked. The enemy can be so subtle. But Lord, you're always one step ahead. And help each one of us, Lord, to live this word for your glory. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy follow.